Luke chapter 12 in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It'll never pass away, not one jot nor one tittle. And that's what Jesus said. And so I've got God's mind right here in my hand. This is the mind of God. Everything that God... Now, this ain't everything God knows. It ain't everything I'm going to know about living here. But this is everything that God wants me to know about His work and His way and His will right there. It's right there. And if we'll read it, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Listen to it preached and taught. Let me tell you something. You'll become a wise person. And we're living in a day today that there are not many wise people left. And I'm going to preach along those lines today there in Luke chapter 12. We'll start with verse 16, but before I get there, I want to read you over here and just kind of tell you kind of what's going on, okay? In chapter 12, chapter 11, chapter 12, there's a great crowd gathered, and they're listening to Jesus, and he's become real popular, and the crowds are almost unbearable. And then he says, people accuse, you know, preachers of being mean and stuff. In chapter 11, he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. In chapter 12, verse 4, he said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you when you shall fear. Fear him which hath... after he is killed and hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And then as he's preaching to them, he tells a parable there in verse 15 of chapter 12. Verse 15, he said, I say unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And then in verse 31, he says, instead of seeking all this stuff, he said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God will take care of you. Amen. Now, it is 1137, something around that, 1135. There's no way I can preach what you need in 20 minutes. So I'm going to preach. I want you to forget about the chicken. Forget about the mashed potatoes. Or that little boyfriend or girlfriend you want to text. You've been out of touch with for 3 minutes. I want you to forget all that stuff and get your mind on the Lord. Get spiritual mind for just a few minutes. Now, some of you ain't here but 1 hour a week. Some of y'all don't go to church. You don't go to church but 1 hour a week. And you need what I'm going to say. Get your mind on what I'm going to say. I'm not going to see some of y'all back tonight or Wednesday night, and I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, if you're going to get anything, now's when you're going to have to get it. So I want you to listen. Put on your spiritual hearing, your spiritual eyes, your spiritual understanding, and the Lord will speak to you. I promise you He will. It'll help you. Here's a man. Jesus told it in a parable. A parable means an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he told his story. He said there was this man, and he was rich. And he was so rich, one day he stopped and he looked. He said, man, I am accumulating some stuff. I got some stuff. Man, I got that new four-wheeler out there, and I got those two bass boats, and I got that pontoon boat, And I got all them tools, and I got all that furniture I got stored out there. I am so rich, my barns won't even hold what I got anymore. I know what I'll do. I'll tear them all down, and I'll fill them up with some more stuff. Amen? He said, I know what else I'm going to do too. I got all this stuff. I'm just going to retire. I'm going to retire, and I'm going to sit back and say to my soul, myself, why don't you just quit all that hard work and just eat and drink and be merry, and you'll have a wonderful life, and everything's going to be real good. You know how those rednecks say it's all good? Yeah. But let me tell you something, it ain't all good. And God looked down at him, Jesus said, God looked down at him, and he said, thou fool, tonight is your last night. Thy soul is going to be called tonight. Now, God doesn't use that word fool lightly. Just to make sure, you know, I grew up in Lancaster, and people from up north so I think we barely can read and write. So I look up things in the dictionary to make sure I'm right, okay? Vine's Bible Dictionary. I was talking to a fellow up in Iowa last night on the phone, and he said, well, I value your advice, Pastor. I said, well, that's surprising. I thought everybody up north thought down here in South Carolina we couldn't even read and write our own name, you know? But that word fool, I looked it up in the Vine's Bible Dictionary. Here's what it signifies. Without reason. Want of mental sanity and sobriety. A reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind. A lack of concern. A lack or sense of perfection. Of the reality of things natural and spiritual. Sometimes it carries with it a moral reproach and describes one who does not govern their own lust and desires. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it's associated with evil desires and lust. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament words in Hebrews, Greek, and the English Bible, that's what it says, and that's what it means. Now, that's pretty serious. When God Himself says that you are without common sense, common perception, the sense of reality of things that are natural or spiritual, and that you want of mental sanity or sobriety. He said, this man's crazy. This man's so foolish, he's crazy because he's planning something he doesn't know is going to come to pass. You don't know what a day will bring forth. As you get older, you're going to find this out. Things are going to happen tomorrow that you never would have dreamed would happen 10, 20 years from now. Things happen, a lot of times things take us by surprise because we don't know from one day to the next. Amen? There's people who are not here today that was here last year that I never would have thought wouldn't be here today. There's people that was here 5, 6 years ago, they're not here today, and I'm talking about they're in heaven or somewhere else. They're not here today, and I never would have dreamed. I thought, boy, they'll be here. They'll always be here. But things happen. You never know. You never know. How many times have you read some kid on a motorcycle got killed, or some old man now, all these old men trying to be kids again. Some old man on a motorcycle, they're usually about 60 years old, and they fell asleep. They were over-medicated, fell asleep, ran off the road or something. I don't know. But how many people died and didn't know that that was going to happen the next day? Because if they'd known, they'd have planned it differently. But they assume, as we assume, that everything's going to stay the same. Now, that's foolish living. That's foolish living. Because God said, thou, you're a fool, man. You're foolish. Because you don't know, tonight you're leaving this world. And he said, then who's all this stuff going to belong to? How many funerals have I preached and seen people fuss and fight over a diamond ring on a dead woman in a casket? Woman ain't even cold yet. I've seen it. In the funeral home, kin folks fussing over jewelry because somebody put jewelry on some woman. Let them leave it. Let her go with it. What a diamond ring won't mean nothing 100 years from now. And your love and your respect and your honor for people will. Amen? And so I got to thinking, God doesn't use that word fool very lightly. Matter of fact, in another passage, he says you're in danger of hell fire if you call a man a fool. Because what you're doing, you're judging his heart. You don't know what's in his heart, see. But we can say there are some foolish things. And we can say people act foolishly. We don't know who a fool is, but we can say, man, if you go by the fruit, they're pretty foolish. Amen. So I got thinking about that. And just a couple of things about that. Number one, Romans chapter 1. Well, don't go there. I'm just going to quote it in a minute. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, those that deny the existence of God, they're fools. They're fools. Because Romans chapter 1, go read it. It says even creation itself declares there's a God. You're fixing to see an eclipse tomorrow. And you're going to see the moon and the sun and the earth all line up at the same time. And the oceans don't flood us out. And the sun don't burn us out. And we don't freeze out. Every bit of that's God. God's got the whole universe in His plan. It's in His program. And you look up there at night and you see the stars, boy, and you think, man, God did that. God did that. Rudy's fixing to have his eyes worked on. They're going to take his eyeball and they're going to work on it. But you take that eyeball out and you look at it and you tell me how that little piece, a ball of water is all it is. A ball of water. How can it look out there and see things upside down, then my brain turn it right side up? How does it know something's green or red or blue or purple or black? How's it? Oh, God did that, see? There wasn't no little germ crawled out of the ocean one day, looked like an eyeball. Amen? Amen. You've got to be a fool to believe that stuff. God created the heavens and the earth and all therein, and a foolish man says there is no God, when creation itself says every time you look up, there's God, there's a God, there's a God. And when the bird chirps, he says, there's a God, there's a God. And when the frog croaks, there's a God, there's a God. And when that stupid dog next door is barking all night, there's a God, there's a God. Creation declares the glory of God. And anybody look at this world and not... They live in some kind of concrete place and never got sees trees or grass or water or something. But most of us... just pick up a blade of grass and look at it. He said in that same passage that God made those lilies. God made those lilies beautiful. God feeds the birds. Amen? Now, a foolish person, and by the way, most of us in this room were taught in junior high school the evolution theory. But we didn't believe it. We were on our way to hell and we didn't even believe that. Amen? We sit there and they showed us pictures of this giant dinosaur. And I say, well, where did they find that out? And the teacher said, well, they didn't really find that. They found a tooth and they made that out of that tooth. So how you making something that big out of a tooth? How you know it had a tail or didn't have a tail or had four legs or six legs or eight legs by a tooth? Only a fool would think such things as that. And they showed me a giant bird, you know, they had meat on it instead of feathers, you know. And I said, where'd they find that at? Oh, they didn't find that. They found a toenail. I've seen some people's toenails you would think come off of a monster. Amen. What you laughing at? Thank you, Lord. That was inspired. But a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, a lot of liars will say it to get you off their back. Y'all young people listening to me? They'll lie to you. I used to lie and say it to get you to shut up. Because I knew there was a God, and I knew if there was a holy God, I was going straight to hell. Amen? I knew if there was a God, I knew if the Bible was true, that I was going to burn, buddy, and I didn't want to talk about it. So I'd say, I don't believe all that stuff. I believe in evolution. I lied. I really didn't. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I've never met a real atheist. I met some that say they are, but who they call when the cancer doctor gets hold to them and they're laying up there in that house trying to comfort them on their way to death. Who they call then? They call the preacher. And I want to go in there and say, I thought you was an atheist. Instead, they call me because all of a sudden they realize there is a God and they're fixing to meet Him. Amen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Our conscience declares there's a God. Creation declares there's a God. In Proverbs 14:9, turn over there real quick. Proverbs 14:9, I want you to mark this one, okay? Proverbs 14:9. It says this, fools make a mock of sin. Fools make a mock of sin. They mock, number one, its existence. A fool says there's no such thing as sin. What's sin to you may not be sin to me. What's right to you may not be right to me. It's just all our morals, you know, and all our moral character. And a fool can justify anything, and they'll make fun of sin. They make fun of it. Gay pride marches. Yes, I did say that. Yes, I did. They're mocking sin. They're saying there ain't no God in heaven. I can live any way I want to. The bars, they're saying there ain't no God in heaven. I can get drunk and throw up anytime I want to. I can beat my wife. I can desert my children. There's no such thing as sin. It's just whatever you want to do or you don't want to do. And they mock the existence of sin. And they say, there is no sin. Well, that's a fool, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we all have an appointment with death. Not only do they mock the existence, they mock its effect. They don't really believe sin will kill you. You say, oh, now, preacher, people smarter than that. How many times you read in the paper somebody overdosed? How many times you read in the paper somebody had a drunk driving wreck and killed two or three people? They don't really believe sin kills, but it does. Amen? Sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. And a fool makes fun of Saturday Night Live type fools. Go ahead, I said that. Yeah. Those comedians on television, those kind of fools. Amen. They mock sin. Hollywood mocks sin. A lot of country and western singers mock sin. Yeah, rock stars, rap stars, they mock sin. You ought to get your ears cleaned out. You listen to that kind of trash. They're just mocking sin. And you're foolish to do that, because one day the wages of sin is death. And one day God's going to look down to you and say, tonight thy soul is required of thee, and one day will be your day to meet God. And you have to stand before Him, either having Jesus Christ paid for those sins, or you're going to have to pay for them yourself. Number three, I said number one, those that deny those that deny God are foolish. Number two, those that delight in sin. And then look at Proverbs 1:7. Turn back over there to Proverbs again. Chapter 1, look at verse 7. And mark this one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And what does that last word say? And instruction. Fools despise it. They despise wisdom and instruction. They don't like being told what to do. That's why they can't keep a job. That's why they fail their class at school. That's why they don't pass the test. That's why they end up in some kind of home instead of their home they were born in, because the mom and dad can't tell them what to do anymore. That's why they end up with an orange jumpsuit on over at the jailhouse. That's why they end up in the electric chair, having a needle pushed in their arm with a lethal injection. Fools, they despise instruction. Now, we were all foolish growing up, every one of us. Y'all young people, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. We were all foolish growing up. We did things. I didn't like people telling me what to do. When I was lost and on my way to hell, when I was a young person, I'd go into work sometime and be mad at the boss man. If he looked at me cross-eyed, I'd quit. You say, and now I look back on it, it didn't hurt him, I quit. It hurt me. Amen. And somebody say something to me, my mom would say something to me, I'd rear up and just talk back and get mad because I was foolish. And I was following foolish people. And I had foolish habits. And I had foolish ways. And the only thing can change that is the power of the Holy Ghost renewing your heart, making you into a wise person. You say, preacher, you can't judge me. No, I can't judge you, but I can judge your fruits. And if you don't like being told what to do, that's a good sign you're probably not even saved. Everybody's got a boss. Did y'all hear me? Everybody's got a boss. Well, I'm going to be my own boss. No, you're not. Boy, I've been in sales. Some of y'all have been in sales. And people say, well, I like that kind of job. You, your own boss. I said, no, I ain't. The customer is my boss. They get to tell me what they want. I don't tell them what they want. I have to do what they want. That's my boss. Amen. You might not hit a clock. You might not have a boss man. But those people are still your boss. Amen. Come on, help me here. Your parents are your boss. Well, my parents ain't telling me what to do. You're foolish. You're going to end up on the rocks. You're going to mess up. And when you get 30 or 40 years old, you're going to get right with God and turn around and come back and testify how you wish you had your mom and daddy back. Amen. Fools despise instruction. I don't care what that preacher says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go ahead. We've been there. We've done that. Amen. Amen. And look, we're trying to wave our arms. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. And you're riding right by saying, I don't believe that. And you're going to go off in the ditch. Amen. See, people who are not Christians, and especially teenagers, they think that we've got some kind of secret when it comes to sin that it's so good we don't want them to have it. So they're going to try it. Because it must be good because mom and dad keeps telling me not to do it. And you know they don't want me to have no fun. Ain't that the way they act? You're just trying to rob me of some pleasure. All my friends do it. Well, your friends are fools too. It's a foolish thing to despise instruction. And by the way, it ain't your teacher's fault you fail. It's your fault. I'm tired of that. My wife teaches school. My daughters teach school. I'm tired of hearing that. The teachers ain't failing you. You're failing you. And parents run there and jump on the teacher. No, it ain't the teacher. It's the kid. If the kid was just listening to what they were told, whether they liked the teacher or not, whether the teacher was pleasant or not, whether the teacher was good at their job or not. If you read the book, do what you're told, you'll pass the test. Ain't that simple? I had many teachers I couldn't stand. They hated my guts. I had a gym teacher that hated my guts when I was a boy because he was that tall. And we'd play basketball. We'd put team up, and he'd get on the other team every time. And I'd always get the rebounds. He couldn't ever get them. He'd jump up there and couldn't get them. And one day he jumped up there and got one and come down like this, hitting me in the ribs like that. Got you, Roddy. But I passed. I ignored him and did what I had to do to pass. Amen? And by the way, parents, don't be too hard on a teacher. When they get out of school, they're going to have a boss man. You're going to go down there and fuss at them too? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what's wrong in our country today. Amen? You know what you need to do when your kids get about... And by the time they're 18, they know everything. They're the smartest people ever to live. I was. You were. When they get about 25, married, and start having children, they'll realize how dumb they really are. But between 18 and up, and here's what you need to do. You need to look at them and say, you finished school? And they say, yeah. Say, you got a job? They say, yeah. Say, you need to move. Because I can't tell you nothing no more. You need to move. You need to go get you a place to live. You're grown. I didn't raise you to stay. I raised you to leave. Now find you a place to live because I ain't going to fuss with you every day. And until you turn 25, you're crazy. I'm not fussing with you. If you don't believe it, get car insurance on them. They'll tell you. Amen. That ain't in my sermon. I just threw that in there for you. Those who despise, they don't like being, look, it hurts our pride to be told what to do. It hurts. It really, even as Christians, it hurts our pride to be told what to do. And sometimes people that tell us what to do don't know what they're talking about, and we know what we're talking about, but they sign our paycheck and we have to swallow our pride and do it their way anyway. Amen? That's a sign of a person that's not foolish. Come on, help me. That's how you keep your job. That's how you keep your wife. That's how you keep your husband. Amen? That pride goes right down through there. Bud and Linda's moving back to West Virginia. I'm going to miss them. I'm going to miss them. But the good news is they're taking their camper with them, and Bud will still have a place to stay when his wife straightened him out. Now, the Word of God is the source of our instruction. Now, I want y'all to listen real careful. Now, I'm not being political. I want you to listen real careful. And I don't want you to leave out here and say, the preacher's preaching politics. I don't want to know who you vote for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But I'm going to tell you this. If your political party or your political group or your political candidate goes against the Word of God, you are not wise to vote for that person or that group. I'm going to leave that right there. Most of you is wise enough to know what I'm talking about. Amen? And they'll manipulate you and they'll twist and turn things. You better get in the Word of God. 2 Timothy says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You better get in the book or you will be fooled yourself. Amen? That's the source of our wisdom. My kids growing up, I told them, this is our rule book right here. We don't make this stuff up as we go along. This is our rule book. The church ain't supposed to. A lot of them doing it. But we shouldn't make up stuff as we go along. What does the Bible say? That's the source of our instruction. So when somebody's older than you and wiser than you gives you some instruction, count it as from God. In Luke chapter 12 there, verse 16 through 21, I want you to notice how he died unprepared. All people do. In verse 16 and 17, he said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. In verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I want you to notice his gain. He had a lot. He had plenty. He had plenty. The man should have been smarter than that. He didn't look to see where all the plenty came from. And foolish people, they'll have health and happiness and a home and all these things, and they forget to look where it came from. And they think they did that. And that's what this man thought. He said, I've got plenty. I've got plenty. Boy, I got some stuff. Well, I've preached many funerals. I've never seen a U-Haul trailer go down to the cemetery and carrying your stuff with you. When you go, you're going to leave every bit of it behind. But he had plenty. And then he said, in verse 19, he said, I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. You know what he said? I'm just going to party for the rest of my life. Did you know it's some people's foolish goal in this life just to party? I mean, to have a drunken party, to have a falling over, falling down, sick, drunk, just a fake laugh and a fake fun, and it's inspired by something other, an outside source. And that's their whole goal. A lot of you teenagers, you think that your life's going to be a party. It ain't. Well, I remember when I was a teenager riding up down those roads in Lancashire, cruising in that those hot rods I had, and all that. Y'all cruised in Chester, didn't you? And you pull in the drive-in restaurant, and y'all ain't old enough to remember. And boy, you think, this is the life? Woo! This is it. Hey, there's all my friends, and they shooting water pistols at me and throwing water balloons, and they putting shaving cream on my windshield. I can't see to get through the stoplight and all this stuff. Woo! We're having a good time. And then one day you realize, I got to get a job to pay for this. So you get your job, you say, I can still party, I'm going to live it up while I work. And you figured out that while all them other fools was out there living it up, you was working. And it came to you. You had a lot of stuff. But you wasn't going to be able to party all your life. Did you know a lot of men and women, they get that in their head when they're teenagers, and they never get it out of their head, and they live a short life because they die early, because they thought they were going to live it up all their life. Y'all still with me? Then, in verse 20, it said, God said, "But thou fool, tonight your soul's going to be required of you." So now, he's unprepared and he's dying. Now, sad to say, I preached a lot of those funerals for people like this. I preached a lot of funerals for people who died unprepared. Listen, I've known a lot of Christians who died unprepared. I believe they were saved on their way to heaven, but they were not prepared to meet a holy God. They thought about themselves all their life. They thought about fun and having all this stuff, and they died not ready to meet God, and they had to stand before a holy God unprepared. Is that not the ultimate defeat outside of going to hell itself? March 5th, 1978, I was saved by the grace of God. I asked Jesus Christ to save me. He did. That prepared me. But you know, since then, I've had to live this life being prepared to meet Him. Now, He's the bridegroom, I'm the bride. But I've never met Him face to face. And I've got to meet Him one day. And I've got to give account for the deeds done in my body. Not to go to heaven or hell now, I'm going to heaven, but for reward or loss of rewards. I've got to stand before my Savior, and I need to be prepared. And there's a lot of foolish Christians, and there's a lot of foolish lost people, and they're going to die. Oh, they had plenty of stuff, and they had them some parties. I went to preach this one funeral, young man. He was in his 30s, I guess, maybe early 40s. His son came in wanting to help plan the funeral. They didn't go to church. I don't even know if he was saved. I hope he was. I think there was some kind of testimony. But his son says, we're going to play rock music. And we're going to play Highway to Hell and all this stuff, you know. And I said, then you need to get you another preacher. He said, "What?" I said, I'm not trying to preach a sermon and comfort people and encourage people to know the Savior if you're going to play that kind of music. I said, you're bringing dishonor on his life, and you're bringing dishonor on his death, and you're bringing dishonor on the funeral itself. And if you want something like that, you better get you another preacher, because if I preach it, we're going to honor his life, and we're going to say some good things about him, and that music would ruin every bit of that, and I'm not going to do that. What you think we'll do? I said, I think we'll do what all Christian funerals do. We're going to play some Christian music. Amen? And he thought for a second, and the young man said, you know what? I think you're right. I said, people will leave this funeral with some hope and some comfort. I said, if we do it the other way, they're not going to have any hope or comfort. I preached another funeral for a young man in his 20s. And I didn't know, I didn't get to talk to them before we did the funeral. They just called me and said, you know, the funeral's tomorrow, will you preach it? And they had visited my church a few times. So I went down there, and as soon as it started, they played a heavy metal, y'all know what that is, don't you? Hard rock song about, and the whole song kept repeating, there is no hope, there is no hope, there is no hope, there is no hope. Some heavy metal band, you know. And I'm sitting over there thinking, Lord, how am I going to get over this mess? To try to comfort that mama, to try to comfort that brother that's left behind. What am I going to say? And so when they got through with that ungodly music, I stood up and I said, you know what? That song was right. There is no hope if you live the way those people that's singing that song live. I said, there is no hope. If you like that, if you think that's good, then there's something wrong. You have no hope, because just like they said, the way they live and the way they believe, there's no hope. And you're of all men most miserable. I said, but let me tell you where the hope is. And I preached Jesus to them. And you know, it took me about 10 minutes to get past the song to get the feelings back. my best friend, one of my best friends, who I think was saved. I think he got saved, but he never got everything the way he ought to. He never got in church like he ought to, and he died an alcoholic. But I believe he was saved. And his second wife didn't know me. She didn't know where I lived or anything. I grew up with this boy. He even stayed at our house for a short time. I loved him like a brother. But we got apart after I got saved and started serving the Lord. And his second wife didn't know me, didn't know where I lived. But I read in the paper that he died, and I went to the funeral. And they had some hireling preacher up there. You know, he let them do anything they wanted to, as long as they paid him. And they sang Conway Twitty's, they played Conway Twitty's songs about drunkenness and adultery. And I wanted to jump up. I wanted to jump up and just rebuke. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. It wasn't my funeral. If it had been my funeral, I'd have told him at the beginning. His son arranged the funeral, who was also an alcoholic. I would have said, son, we're not doing that. I love this man, and there is hope, you know, in where he went. I'm not doing that. We're going to do better than that, but that the one they had didn't tell him that. And so therefore, I'm sitting beside another pastor who didn't get to preach, and we're sitting there, and man, we're just shaking our heads. And it's like being at Gilly's Bar or something. It was awful. It was awful. And when we left, I introduced myself to his wife, and she said, I wish I'd known you was here. She said, I wish I'd known where you live. See, he talked about you sometimes. See, he talked about growing up with you and how you became a preacher. I said, well, let me tell you something that man didn't know. There is hope. I remember when he asked the Lord to save him. And boy, that just tickled her to death. Now listen, if you die unprepared, if you're a Christian, you're going to stand before your Savior and you're going to give account. And none of us wants to be ashamed. Right. And we've all been foolish at times in our Christian life and done things, said things we shouldn't have done. But you know, you don't have to leave it that way. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then there may be, in a crowd this size, there probably is somebody that who has never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Let me tell you what would be foolish today. Leave here without knowing you're saved. You say, I'll do it when I get home. You won't. Well, I'll do it next week. You have no promise of next week. Well, I'll do it next service. You don't have promise of another service. God would look at you and say, thou fool, today thy soul is required of thee. You better get saved today. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on Jesus. Put it all on Him. Ask Him to save you. Trust Him completely. Turn it all over to Him. And like I did, if I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Him and nothing else. And He'll save you. And He'll give you a new heart. And He'll give you a new mind. And He'll give you wisdom through the Word of God that you won't live foolishly like that. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.